Kind of, sort of, not really. Think about it. And he's telling Timothy about these things. And he's warning him, and he's admonishing him. And he told him, fear not. You know, he's warning him to be of good courage. And, amen, do the work of an evangelist. And all that. He told him all these things. But he said, Timothy, there's going to come a time that dangerous times are going to fall on this world. He said, give him that whole list of things, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes in my state of mind, I dread that. Don't we all? We dread those things, pastors. Come on now. Look at there. I'm referring to myself as a pastor again. I'm not a pastor anymore, but I've been there and done that. You know what I mean. Amen. They said, Timothy, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's verse 13. But then in verse 14, hallelujah, he said, but continue thou. What are you going to do in the meanwhile, son? He said, continue thou in the things that you know. Do what you know to do is right, son. Stick with it. Stick with it. Oh, he said, continue thou. Amen. And let me just paraphrase it here in modern day language. He said, son, you know how you learn those things. You've known about them since you was a child. I mean, Sister Sybil calls you, taught you that when you was in Sunday school, when you was just a boy. Folks that grew up where I grew up, you know who I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Amen. Yeah. Oh, brother so-and-so told you that when you was just a toe-headed boy. Amen. You know where you learned it from. You know how you got a hold of it when you was just a child. Don't dread these things, son. Don't back up on these things, son. You may be a coward, but the Holy Ghost is not. And he said, continue thou. Continue thou in those things that you know are right. I want to tell you, it's no time to back up. Come on, church. I said, it's no time to back up. No time to let up. No time to shut up or give up. Oh, hallelujah. But it's time for us to wake up. Amen. To get up, to rise up, to step up, to move up, to speak up, and to lift him up, because we're about to go up. Praise God. Hallelujah. What am I going to do in the meanwhile? I'm going to continue in this path of trying to do something for God. Hallelujah. Say, Brother Tony, things are working against us. How's... You brothers won't help me out with a clock, so hallelujah. I brought my own. In the meanwhile, I look at so many things that are working against us. Some of you were with us the other day at Temple, and I preached over on Sunday morning on beating the odds to get to Jesus. And I pointed out in that service so many things that work against us having a move of God. I'm telling you, the times that we're living in, the attitudes of the people, you know, we were laughing about it. One night, I don't remember what it was, and she don't know I'm going to tell this, and I don't want to embarrass her no way, but one night we was having a move of God around the front, and different ones getting in. I don't reckon I've ever seen quite so much shouting, God helping folks at one time in probably 20-something years of ministry. But it's just amazing. I mean, I was overwhelmed, but I felt like crawling under the pew and crying because I was just so overwhelmed that God had favored us. But I just paused between prayers, and Brother Bubba was over in one corner seeking the Holy Ghost, and Brother Donnell was staggering around up there behind the pews about to fall over, and different ones getting in, and Sister Tammy was at the back of the church. Her eyes just got big because she didn't know what I'm about to say. Some of you, I laughed about it in service. She was back at the back tending to the children
I mean, she was getting in. You know, she was. But she was taking care of business back there, watching those kids. And so she sat down between the pews. And I looked over there just at a glance. And just for a moment, this is what she was doing. It probably didn't last 15 seconds. And I didn't have my camera phone handy. Or I took a message and sent it to some of you guys and said, yes, we are having a mighty move of God at Temple. Can't you tell by the expression on her face? Come on now. And she can get me back for that later. But, it didn't last really. I looked back momentarily and she was up doing something else. Hey, seeing about the kids. But, you know, and there again, it's all about perception in that situation too. But you know, looking at that, those are things, and she wasn't working against us, but sometimes the attitudes of people work against us having a move of God. Y'all laugh at me when I tell you how many dozens of sets of cabinets I've built while the preacher was preaching. Huh? You say, what in the world are you talking about? How many times have you planted your garden while the preacher was preaching? Trying to figure out how I'm going to work it out. What I've got to do tomorrow. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, my. You know, and though really, we don't mean to do it, Brother Jim. But those things work against us. Hallelujah. And sometimes we just say, Lord, there's so much working against us. It's pointless to try to have a move of God. It's pointless to try to press through all of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's pointless to try, amen, to push our way through. How can we? It's kind of like over in 2 Kings, I think it's 7. The prophet said, by this time tomorrow, a certain amount of bread will be sold for a certain amount, and this will happen and that will happen. And that Lord said, yeah, only way that will happen is if windows were opened up in heaven. That's the only way it will happen. You know, I was riding down the road the other morning before daylight, and the Lord got to dealing with me about that. And he said, that Lord said, hey man, if windows were opened in heaven. But he said, if you'll go over there and look what I told Malachi, you'll realize that it's possible. Not just possible, but probable. Not just probable, but likely. You know what he told Malachi, don't you? He said, try me and prove me. And see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. Oh, you say, Brother Tony, that's talking about the tithing. I'm telling you, I can give my worship. I can give my praise. I can give my dedication. Come on here now, church. I think sometimes when we look at the impossibility of a move of God in our services, we ought to just go ahead and give our all. And say, all right, Lord, I'm just going to try this. I'm just going to prove you, God. And I'm going to sit back and watch while you open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us. What am I going to do in the meanwhile? I'm going to give and give and worship and pray and do all I can to let's see a move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to hurry. I begin to look around at others this morning. What am I going to do in the meanwhile? What am I going to do? Well, Brother JL is, you're 81 right now. He'll be 82. I guess this year, don't count the head of you. Anyway, he's 81 right now. Hallelujah. Brother John's granddaddy come preach for me at Union Grove. And how old was he? It was not. And how old was he, Tim? Y'all remember he was 95? Whatever. How old was he died, John? Late 90s. Anyway, he was like 95 and he'd say, and a half. And I say, we're glad to have him here this morning, Brother Atkinson here. He's 95 years old. He'd go, and a half. He didn't want you to forget his halfway through that 96 year, you know. Hallelujah. And the good thing about it was he's still preaching the gospel. Let him preach. I sat in awe and wonder listening to that man preach. I'm telling you, half. You got, there you go. He's got his half in over here now. Praise God. 81 and a half. Hallelujah. You don't want to forget that. Done made it that far. Hallelujah. Well, I'm looking, Brother Archie. How old are you now? 83 and a third. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll get the third in there. Hallelujah. I thought he was more like 80 or 81. I didn't realize he was 83. Amen. He's young looking, ain't he? Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, yeah. Brother Bill, I meant to ask you before I got up here. Are you 70 yet? 73 and a half years plus. Praise God. Well, y'all get that? Figure that one out. Where are you going with this, Brother Tony? I'm looking at men that are my elders, all right? And you know, I'm seeing them do things for God. And some of us, some of you, are considering giving up. If you're here and you're thinking about giving up, I'm begging you right here, right now, please, please, please reconsider. Please reconsider. If you're discouraged with going to church, please reconsider. Oh, help me, God. If you're discouraged with doing something for God, please reconsider before you give up. Hallelujah. Brother Herschel, how old are you now? You told me last night and I forgot. 72 and two-thirds. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, he shows up at places way off from home. That's right. Brother Bill hadn't been long, took a mission trip way off from home. That's right. Brother Archie done wrote a book in his old age. Hallelujah. Brother Sellers shows up at places way off from home. You know what they're doing? They're still going. I said, they're still going. What are you going to do in the meanwhile? Come on now, church. You say, Brother Tony, this message has died. At least I named it so you can identify the corpse. Amen. But what are we going to do in the meanwhile? Brother W.L., I think if I was you, I think I'd take Sister Frankie by the hand one more time and go back on that platform and sing one more time. In the meanwhile, I want to stroll over heaven with you again. That's right. Brother Byron Gay, I think I'd get up on Sunday morning and drive that 80-plus miles all the way back to Bellevue. Amen. Just on the prospect of seeing that old boy you met down there in Subway in Rochelle or Abbeville that night come back on Sunday morning, Brother Ed. I think I'd go back and pray one more time. God, give us souls at Bellevue Church. And have it prayed down so much that when they come in, they'd feel the arms of the love of God and the people wrap around them. And they'd fall in that altar and say, this right here, I have found what I've been looking for. Come on now. Oh yeah, in the meanwhile, Brother Johnny Woods, go on up there to Providence and take that little struggling church that, hey man, nobody, only one person, a lot of y'all don't know this, everybody that goes to Providence except for one person lives an hour to an hour and a half away. They drive an hour to an hour and a half every service to be there. And Brother Johnny and Sister Leslie and their families going to take that little church in August. Brother Hughes done a great job. Brother Rayford's been there. Others have been there and pastored. But I'm looking at this young man, I said, you go there. I'll go up there and go fishing in those ponds that I grew up in, and I'll see them guys that I grew up with, and I'm going to push them in your direction. I'm going to tell them about that new preacher over at Providence. And not only that, but I'm going to pray that they get something going. Till it'll be like it was that Brother Harold used to say that people told him about Providence Church. They said when we stepped out of our vehicle on the ground, we could feel the power of God moving underneath. Oh, I think I'll go preach one more time. Come on, church. I said, I think I'll go preach one more time. Oh, I hope y'all still with me this morning. I don't want to lose you here. But I think in the meanwhile, Brother Kyle Taft, I'll go out there to that little church in the woods where the people don't come out of the woodwork. They come out of the woods to go to church at Temple. I told Brett, Lord, I said he was trying to figure out where temple was. He was describing going over somewhere. I said, no. You're talking about community. That's community church. And I said, temple, you go across I-75 and you go through Lenox and you drive a half a mile out of town out there at that house with the clothes hanging on the line and the chickens running around in the yard and you turn left. He said, he's from the state of Maine. He said, really? I said, no, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Amen. But you don't just happen to go to temple. You got to be going there to get there. Somebody ought to say amen. Hallelujah. You don't know what I'm talking about if you ain't ever been. But I think, Brother Kyle Taft, I think what I'd do in the meanwhile is I'd pass that house with the clothes hanging on the line. Don't worry about running the chickens out of the road. But I'd go back to that little plywood pulpit and I'd preach one more time. Hallelujah. And I'd press for one more move of God. And I'd just see how many of those backwood Bering County boys I could get saved. I think, Brother Jim, I'd go back to Union Grove. Man, I'm so proud to hear what God's doing at Union Grove. If you ain't heard, you ought to get the latest. Brother Silas didn't know. He's asking Brother John, is this normal for these folks? They normally shout like this, get in like this. God's sending them revival. Come on now. But in the meanwhile, are you satisfied? No. Brother Jim, I think I'd go back out there to Stone Church. They told me when I pastored there years ago that somebody had said that the only thing holding those stones up there was the paint. So I'd give them another good coat while I was there to enforce a stone. Hallelujah. I think Sister Marcia told me that. Amen. But you see, that's a church that's been through the fire. If I remember correctly, there was a wooden building there. And didn't they burn it down or threaten to burn it down? So they said, that ain't no hill for a climber. We'll take care of that. And they built it out of stone. Ain't going to burn that down. Come on now. So what are we going to do? We're going to go back out there on Stone Church Road, right there at the county line of Johnson and Lawrence County, Brother Tim Smith. And I'm going to push for another move of God. You say, ain't you satisfied with what we got? Are you? I'm not. No. I tell you no. Brother Joey Dean, I think we'll go back out there, way out there. Seem like I drive forever when I leave Broxton to try to reach New Corinth Church. Well, there's DJs. I thought DJs was on the other side. I must have missed it. Nope, it's still down here somewhere on the right. And then it rises up, that big old pretty church out there in the middle of the country. I think I'll go back out there. And I think I'll pray through one more time. And I think I'll preach. Come on now. What are you going to do, Brother Tony? I think I'll pray through again. I think I'll go back to church. I'll play my little piano. I'll sing my little song. Like all the heavens listening. And I'll preach until I hurt. Just to see somebody else get saved. Just to see somebody else pray through. Just to see somebody else have a revival in the meanwhile. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it ain't no time to quit. We need to back up and take some perspective. You see, there's a lot of bad things that we could talk about. And that could be the perspective that we have. But then, I could turn this coin over, so to speak, and tell you of all of those situations that I brought from the Word of God a while ago. Meanwhile, Herod killed James and arrested Peter. But the church was praying in the meanwhile. Huh? Oh, I'm hurrying here. I got to close. And meanwhile, God dispatched an angel to close the lion's mouth for Daniel. Meanwhile, Paul and Silas
prayed, and sang praises. You say the miracle of that chapter was the earthquake and the shaking and the doors of the... Yeah, that was a miracle. But the unsung miracle of that chapter is that Paul prayed and sang praises at midnight in stocks and bonds. What are we going to do? We know God's going to deliver us, Silas. I don't know, Paul, what you want to do? Well, I'll tell you what, let's pray. And so they prayed. You say, you don't know what they said. You don't either. So let's just imagine this for a minute. So let's pray, see what the Lord will do here. I got to pray to kind of get my nerves settled, you know. I got to pray, Lord, make these whiplashes quit hurting on my back. And pray, Lord, let me not feel these stocks around my hands and feet. And just pray the Lord get us out of here quick. You know, you don't know what they said, but you just think about that. And so they might have prayed. And, man, I felt good. I tell you, I didn't really expect to feel the Spirit of the Lord in here like that. Huh? But God gave them revival in their bondage, didn't he? You know, that's what Ezra said. He said, God has favored us. We're bondsmen, but God ain't forgot us in our bondage. He said he'd give us a nail in his holy place, and he'd give us a little reviving in our bondage. And so they prayed, you know, think with me for a minute here. Use your imagination. And Paul and Silas prayed. And he said, man, whew, man, I feel like singing. You sing? Yeah. Could have fooled me. Is that what you call that? You know, you can imagine that's what we'd have done. We'd have picked at one another a little bit. When we got through crying and whining and whimpering, we'd have picked at one another. You know, well, I reckon God will get us out of this. Well, I feel like singing. And they begin to sing praises. I don't know what they sang. I don't know what key it was in. It really don't matter. But they prayed and sang praises in prison at midnight. And as they did, the Bible said that, that earthquake came and it just began to shake and rumble. And they thought, man, I didn't realize we was having this kind of a move of God. Whoa, let's do that again. Do it again. Are you kidding? The gate's open. Let's get out of here. Praise God. Oh, yeah. But, you know, sometimes what you got to do, friend, you say, I can't take all this bondage, all this oppression power. Well, why don't you just pray a while? You might just feel a song coming on. And when you feel a song coming on, Brother Rayford, go back up there and sing again about that new wine that you sang about the other night over at Temple. You done forgot about it, at you? So I ain't forgot it. Somebody else mentioned it to me the other day. Hallelujah. Sing it again. Hallelujah. And God may move again. Come on now, church. Meanwhile, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto the Lord. Meanwhile, for you and I, amen, I feel like that the heavenly host has been set, amen, sent to set up camp round about you. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, God will send in ravens to meet your... Meanwhile, there's an agent that's been sent from heaven. Every time you give your last dollar, God puts another dollar in. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, you don't realize what God's trying to do. You don't realize what God's trying to work in your life because we've got the wrong perspective on the meanwhile. But, brother, if we'll back up and just change our perspective, we can once again realize that God is working. I said, God is working. Hallelujah. So we stand all over this building. I'd like to tell you, Elijah, I'd like to tell you that beyond Mount Horeb and beyond the shade of the juniper tree, are you hearing me? I'd like to tell you, preacher, child of God, that beyond the cave at Mount Horeb and beyond the shade of the juniper tree, there's still a work to do. There's still a word to preach. And there's still a miracle to perform. I'd like to tell you, children of God, beyond the valley of dry bones, God has an army that's marching on. Oh, God. I'd like to tell you, Hebrew boys, beyond that fiery furnace, you're going to change the religion in Babylon. You say, how so? Scripture teaches me But after that, the king saw four men in that fire. And when he pulled Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out, not even the smell of smoke upon them. Didn't he command his entire kingdom to bow down to the God of Shadrach? He changed their religion. But they had to go through that fire. You say, Brother Tony, I'm going through it. What are we going to do in the meanwhile? Hunker down and suffer it? Whimper and whine about it? You don't have to do that. I've done enough of that for all of us. Come on now. That's right. Hunker down and whimper and whine? No. There's something to be done. There's backsliders to reach. There's young people that need to see a move of God. I fear the loss of a generation, as I preached to you last night. I fear the loss of a generation of young people. Therefore, I feel like we need to, as I mentioned last night, make a connection from the elders to the younger. But I'm looking at the closing out of time here. We all are. We're seeing things come to pass that really scream at us. The signs of the time scream at us of how close we are to the coming of the Lord. And I fear the loss of a generation right here at the end. I fear the loss of my children. I've been blessed. Some of you have heard me say that Sister Ann and I agree that our greatest asset of our marriage and ministry is our children, my two boys. And I'm proud of what God has done. And I'm seeing them grow, seeing them mature, not only physically, Brother Mark Jordan, but spiritually. We came into our home church where we attend after we left New Hope. And our boys fell right in. Our pastor was preaching one Sunday morning on being specific about your prayer request to God. And he said, anybody got any specific requests, something you'd like to for specifically? He don't say specific, he says pacific. That's Brother Greg Robertisms, we call him. Anything pacific, he said, you want God to do for you, for you'd like to see? Dallin was standing over on the side, leaning up against the door jamb where he'd been backing the preacher. He said, what about you, Brother Big Man? That's what he calls him. You know, when Dallin talks to Greg Roberts, it's like the moose and the mouse, you know. He said, what about you, Brother Big Man? And this is what Dallin said. He's 19 years old at the time. He just turned 20 the other day. He said, I'd like to see the young people of this church catch on fire for God. You got to understand my pastor. He'll milk it for all it's worth. I was already in bed the other night, and Dallin come in the room. He said, I need prayer. I forgot about sleep. I still had the lamp on. I said, what in the world? He said, the pastor has come to me and asked me to be our youth leader at our church. He's an adult. I'm not about to tell him what to do. I said, okay. He felt a burden for it. He's not a preacher. I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression here. If he's called to preach, he'll know it before anybody else, okay? I don't have to tell him. If I'd have let some folks, they'd have called him when he was 12, when he was 6 and 8, I wouldn't allow it. I haven't pushed him away from it. I just hadn't pushed him into it, Brother Mark. If he's called, he'll know it. But he took that position just last week. He talked to the pastor. He's just waiting on confirmation at our home church. You know what his heart's desire is? It's still the same. It don't matter what that job or that position entails. Don't matter what heartaches he may face, good times or bad times. He's prayed through about it. And his desire is still the same. He knows we're running out of time. You know we're running out of time. But the desire is the same. While we're here, let's catch on fire for God. Let's catch on fire for God. Brother Buddy has prayed, I mentioned last night, he's prayed a bunch of us through a bunch of times around these altars. He could be excused. I'd overlook him sitting down. I would, because I respect him and love him. But meanwhile, he's not sitting down. He's still pressing in for a move of God. When I went back, I was so thrilled. A few weeks ago, we were at Cecil and Revival. I think it was Friday night. I looked out, and here come Brother Charles Horn and Sister Betty. And Brother Charles' health's not good, and I know that. And he's limited for the amount of time he can go and place he can go. But they come over to be with us in meeting. And I was tickled to death to see him. Went out and talked to him, and I went back this morning and shook his hand. And as I shook his hand, Brother Ed, I got you on your feet, now just bear with me. As I shook his hand, Brother Ed, he said, "Excuse my laziness," and smiled. And I said, "Brother Charles, I'll excuse your laziness all day long if that's what you need. I'm just thrilled to see you here." And I'm telling you, he moves slower than he's ever moved, but I still see the fire in his eyes. I still see the fire in his eyes. And there's others. You could well be excused, but you elders choose not to be. If Brother Archie had, if I'd asked somebody, if he wasn't here, 83 and a third years old, if he wasn't here and he stayed up there at home, and I said, "Where's Brother Archie?" And they said, "Well, he ain't doing too good. He just thought it'd be better if he stayed home." You know what I'd say? I'd say, "Bless his heart. I'm going to pray for him." I wouldn't think a thing in the world about him staying home. I wouldn't, because I love him and I respect him that much. I do. But he chose to come. Right. And he chose to be a part of these services. And I'm looking at my generation when it's so convenient for me just to do whatever I want to do. Things get a little hard on me and I want to stay home. Come on now, church. Things get a little tough and difficult and we want to back up a little bit. And then I feel my elders pushing me in the back and saying, "Don't back up, son. If you back up, you'll run over us. Because we're pushing you to the top." And so I'm asking you, and I'm sorry I've got you on your feet for so long. But I want to ask you, what are you going to do in the meanwhile? Are you going to let the cares of this life take you down? Or will you go one more time? So, Brother Tony, I ain't much of a singer. Sing again. But Tony, I preached and felt like I flopped. Preach again. You've heard me tell it, say it. That's what I told our people at New Hope for years. Ain't much of a testifier. Testify anyway. Get you a little testimony that you can't mess up and say, "Thank God for saving me," and sit down. If you got to go to the mirror and rehearse it, go to the mirror and rehearse it. Pray through about it. Come to church and testify. Folks will probably be shouting so much about what you're saying that they won't even realize what you're saying. Just to see you on your feet doing something for God. What about it this morning? You've been discouraged? You've been wounded? Why don't you step out of your pew right now and make a different perspective on the meanwhile? Brother Tony, I just can't seem to function in these end times. I'm so oppressed and depressed. No, you need to take a different perspective. You need to look at things differently. You need to realize that this is some of the greatest opportunities we've ever had to do something for God.
You need to realize that we're living in the greatest time of opportunity we've ever had to do something for God. Right here, right now. Won't you come? Won't you come? This is my altar call. I'm closing here. Come on. Young preachers, middle-aged saints of God, elders, won't you come? I apologize for taking so long to preach this morning, but let's take a different perspective on the meanwhile. Let's take a different perspective on the meanwhile. Oh, God. Lord, I feel like we failed you. Feel like I've let you down, Lord, because I've let the end times take their toll on me. I've allowed myself to become discouraged. Lord, I've allowed myself to fall, oh God, in the trap of carelessness. I've allowed myself, Lord, to become discouraged and disheartened and to lose hope. Oh God, lift me up, Lord. Help me to change my view. Whereas I've been looking down, allowing the signs of the times to oppress, bring me down. Let me change my perspective, Lord. And when I see all of these things coming to pass, to look up, to lift up my head, knowing that my redemption draws nigh. Come on, saints of God. Come on, church. Oh, come on, church.